Welcome to the Eat Allergy Safe podcast, where it's all about solving the challenges of living with allergies so you can be more confident and stay allergy safe. Here's your host. She's an adrenaline pen carrying grown-up allergy kid, Nina Modak.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Eat Allergy Safe podcast. I'm very excited to introduce to you Natalie Newman, also known as the Intolerant Gourmand today. Hello, Natalie.
Good morning. Hi, everybody.
Hi, how are you doing today?
I'm doing all right, thank you. How are you?
Yeah, I'm good. Excited for today. So for those of you who don't know who Natalie is, she is a mum, she's a blogger, she's a food writer, presenter, photographer, recipe developer, qualified nutritional therapist. That's what I've got on my list here. Is there anything else?
Quite a lot, really.
That's great.
I think you've covered most of it, actually. I don't think you've missed anything out there.
Well, that's great. Firstly, I'd like to ask you, what's your allergy journey like? Tell me a little bit about yourself and how you've come into the allergy world.
So about four and a half years ago, just over, our little Doodie was a few weeks old. Never really knew allergies very much at all. Heard about them, but didn't think too much of them. Knew that people suffered with them. And then at 8 weeks old, he had a massive anaphylactic response to dairy in my breast milk. And we ended up in A&E with him fighting for his life.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And at that point, the very, very long journey began of trying to find out exactly what it was that was making him poorly, because he didn't just react to it. He was also having very severe infected eczema that was putting him in hospital repeatedly. Numerous admissions, three separate anaphylactic responses again up until when he was finally allergy tested at 16 months. And that's when we found out quite how severe the allergies were and quite how many there were. And to date, we're now at 28 allergies.
Oh my goodness.
With a fair few of them that are severe enough that are anaphylaxis inducing, warranting EpiPen, antihistamine, inhalers, creams, the full works with him now that he's started school. And to be carried around with him at all times, because he reacts very, very quickly to some of it.
Oh, wow. Wow. So you've, yeah. And I know that your son has just started school this week. So
literally. You've had. Literally.
So this is an exciting, but also quite an emotional time for you.
Yeah, so it's definitely a new chapter in his journey, but it's been a very emotional one over the past few days, because it's the trying to see that everybody that you've trained has taken it on board and everything that you've said and the severity and quickness of reactions that can occur.
Yeah.
And trusting someone enough to know what to do if something happens. And that's the hardest bit, because you can keep them in a bubble. And I've been saying this across all my social media for the past few days. It's like I've had him in this bubble for the past 4.5 years to keep him safe. And I've now launched him. Imagine like a computer game, launched him into this field with the allergens coming at him and attacking him all the time. And he's having to personally bat these off now, as opposed to mummy batting them off for him or his childminder batting them off for him. And that's quite a challenge from a parent's perspective, to have the confidence to say, I've trained you. I've given you everything you possibly can have. I've trained the staff at school. They know everything they possibly can have. Now I've got to trust that it's enough. And I know it's enough, because it's what I do. It's part of my job now.
Yeah.
But it's that element of self-confidence and doubt that's kicking in as a parent, and that I just want to protect him, but he's got to learn to do it himself.
Yeah. And how have you been managing all of this? Are you managing? Are you you're doing okay?
I was very, very emotional last week. It was not a good week. I've got to be completely honest, because I can, I practice what I preach, but sometimes mummy instinct kicks in, and that's, that's tough to overcome.
Yeah.
So yeah, there were a fair few tears on the first day or two, but he was okay. And then my worst fears were recognised on day three, when we got a phone call at lunchtime to say that he was having quite an impressive reaction.
Okay.
He was clawing the inside of his mouth out, trying to pull his tongue out. He was in so much, it was so itchy inside. But they managed to control it. They gave him his antihistamine. They monitored him. They deduced that he didn't require an EpiPen, but they were questioning it at one point. And he's now fine. He's absolutely fine. But having to face full on, front on, day three in the start of a term, mm-hmm. the exact fear that you've always been worried about, mm-hmm. that's quite a challenge to overcome.
And of that experience, I mean, is there any positives that you can take away
yes.
from it?
Yeah, definitely. So the training that we did with Callum and also with the school has mm-hmm. clearly worked. Because he's mm-hmm. here, still telling the tale. He was fine in the afternoon and carried on with lessons as normal.
Oh, wow.
It's
tough little chap.
The kid is just a hero in my eyes. He's just a living legend. He really is. He's amazing. But then the other side, which will sound weird, but I think people will understand what I'm trying to say. I'm kind of glad that it happened so early on. Because when you're trying to explain such a severe situation to people, they almost have to witness it firsthand to believe it is as real as it is.
Yeah.
So for him to have reacted so quickly mm-hmm. and so soon into the term and them having to deal with it so quickly and effectively has kind mm-hmm. of reiterated to them, okay, they're not exaggerating. This is reality for them. Mm-hmm. We need to stay on the ball. We need to be aware of what's going on.
Yeah.
And yes, we need to really be constantly watching what's happening to make sure mm-hmm. it doesn't happen again, or if it does, that we can control it in the way that we have done.
Yeah.
So it's a reassuring thing for me, because they did everything right. They didn't do anything wrong. And I
That's
can't
great.
Ask for any more than that.
That's fab. Well, for the I'm hoping that there are going to be a lot of new parents listening to this. And so can you talk us through some of the things, or all the things, that you went through with the school to train them?
Of course. So we actually went and had a look at a few schools before we even went through the administration process mm-hmm. and the admissions, so that we could get a feel of what the schools were like. Some of the schools are great, but they just don't have a handle on how serious it is. So that immediately was a note striking them off our list. We're not interested. Then came the school that he's actually now gone to, mm-hmm. and their stance was completely different to everybody else's. So we walked in and we explained about the situation that we had, and that we have an older daughter that would probably be moving from the school that she was in to come join at the school that Callum was going to be going to, because you can't physically split yourself across two schools in one time.
It's tough.
It's not going to happen.
Got to make your life a little bit easier.
Yeah, exactly. Life's hard enough as it is. Let's make things a bit easier. So we started to talk to the headmaster, who was a new dad at the time that we'd met. And very quickly it became apparent that he just got it. And you get a feel when you're an allergy parent. People get it, or they go, yeah, and it's platitudes in it that you really mm-hmm. don't understand.
Yeah, definitely.
He got it. Mm-hmm. So we were chatting about Callum and his needs, and how we were looking for a safe environment predominantly for him, and mm-hmm. that we could do other things to help them. Mm-hmm. And he started to take us through the school. So the first one was at Foundation, which is where Callum is now. And I immediately had my alert on, because Callum was with us.
Yeah.
And they were having snack time. Mm-hmm. Now, they had tomatoes, fresh cherry tomatoes, and that's one of Callum's serious triggers. Mm-hmm. And not only does it cause a very severe reaction with him, it also sets off his eczema. And each time he's ever mm-hmm. been exposed to it, he's ended up with 4 days stay in hospital and 6 to 12 weeks recovery.
Wow.
To try and get the eczema back to where it should be. So his quality of life is seriously impeded by it. So I was immediately on alert, watching these children, touching everything and thinking, oh my God, this is a cross-contamination nightmare. What do I do about this?
Yeah.
All quietly while looking at my hubby, kind of going, oh my God, as you do.
Yeah.
The head teacher was astute enough to pick up on this straight away and said, what's wrong? Something's not right. And I explained, and I put it in the bluntest terms possible, because I thought, you can't sweeten this up. They need to know reality.
Yeah.
So we told him bluntly exactly what it was like. Mm-hmm. He said, right, not a problem. So if Callum does come here, we remove it. It's not in the classroom.
Oh,
we make sure
fantastic.
Everything's washed down. We change what we're doing to keep him uh-huh. safe. His safety is paramount. Mm-hmm. I burst into tears at that point, because mm-hmm. I did not expect to see that. I know, it was amazing. So then we carried on round, and they're showing the life skills area and the motor skills, and the where they're playing with certain fruits, and they can put mm-hmm. them in the paint to see all the different textures they can mm-hmm. create. They had citrus fruit in there. Mass trigger point for Karen, mm-hmm. for Callum again. He picked up on it and he said, right, so what we do is we make sure there's a Callum safe environment where nothing can get touched, nothing can get contaminated. We know it's safe for him, or we just don't have them in the room at all. Again, mm-hmm. not a problem. We just mm-hmm. accommodate accordingly.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking, this is such a refreshing attitude. It's unbelievable. I haven't even asked you to do this. You're volunteering to do this. Mm-hmm. This is a different league to anything I've ever seen before.
Wow.
continued around the school, cooking classes, same thing. They'd ask me for assistance if they have specific recipes they'd like to do. I can come in and teach them how to do it.
Oh, that's fab.
It's a whole different world. We showed our daughter, she immediately said, I want to come here. So we moved her. She's now been there for a year. She's the happiest kid you could imagine. Callum started last week. He's the happiest kid you can imagine in spite of the reactions. And as soon as we found out that the admission process had worked and we'd got mm-hmm. him into the school, I immediately phoned up and said, right, he's in. Now the hard work starts.
Yeah.
Can we please have a meeting? They said, yes, not a problem. We're going to pull everyone in that you need. So in this meeting, wow. we had the headmaster, the head of foundation, the yeah. TA of foundation, the kitchen wow. manager, and the secretaries, so they all knew what was going on at the same time. So everybody was fully aware of the situation.
Yeah.
And I explained what he was like. I explained what we've gone through and the processes. I explained that he's going to have time off school because he's got SBTs and RAS tests coming up in a couple mm-hmm. of weeks' time. So for anyone who's new to it, skin prick tests and blood tests to check the natural histamine levels when they're responding to a reaction, to find out quite how severe they are, if they're starting to improve with the certain allergens being taken out of their diets. Mm-hmm. So he's got all this coming up in a couple of weeks, so we've had to ask for permission for him to be off school already. They were absolutely fine with it. They just said, keep us in the loop, let's be aware. If he needs the whole day, not a problem. If he's still feeling rubbish the next day, come back the day after, that's absolutely fine.
Yeah.
The whole way through, they've given us specific times where we could go in and we could ask questions and said, look, kitchen's completely open, pull it apart. Wow. Find out what there is that's safe and what isn't. They want to work with us to make mm-hmm. sure he's as safe as possible and gets the best possible chance at school, which I don't think we would have found that anywhere else. I've got to be honest, they are fantastic. I'm not going to say their name for fear of having a stampede go to them, but they are brilliant. They are absolutely brilliant. I can't sing their praises enough. Even to the point where he had his first settling in period, the kitchen staff called me in and said, right, now come and have a look. What can we do? What's his favourites? Yeah. Can we make it safe for him? We'll follow your guidance. And when it's safe for him to start eating, then we'll start kicking him onto the programme. That's amazing. Absolutely. That's fantastic. Amazing. It really wow. is.
That's like it a dream really come true school.
Exactly. And it has definitely helped the transition from him being in a childminder and then with us over the summer to him being... Mm-hmm. having that trust in a school of 600 children
oh,
and knowing that he is safe. Yeah, it's yeah. a big school.
And how have you prepared Callum for this?
So Callum has always known. We've never hidden from him. He's the sort of child that actually does better when he knows what's going on. So if something's yeah. hidden from him, he will freak out and he won't let you do anything.
Yeah.
He's had that many hospital admissions. He knows what a cannula is. He knows what IV antibiotics and virals mm-hmm. are. He knows all of that.
Mm-hmm.
And magic cream is a godsend to him. He loves it, but he reacts to it, so he prefers the spray because it doesn't hurt so much. But he will, if you tell him they need to put this in but the medicine's going to make you better, he'll go yeah. okay, no problem, let's just do it, let's get it on with it, let's just get it out of the way and I'll feel better because I feel rubbish right now.
Okay, so he magic knows cream what yeah. just to explain what magic cream or spray is for.
So the magic cream and spray is what they use to numb their hands before they put a mm-hmm. cannula in.
Yeah.
Now, Callum is one of the minority, but I do know of a few other children from parents that follow my blog that yeah. their children have also reacted to this cream as well.
Mm-hmm.
So if there is a reaction, always I would always say do a tiny test on mm-hmm. The base of the thumb, just here, right. so that you can see if there's going to be a reaction that occurs. And if it's okay, then you can use it on the actual back of the hand and then have the cannula go in with that issue because it's all been numbed and no issue.
Mm-hmm.
So he's well used to all sorts of medical procedures to keep him well. I mean, he's been nebulized as well. He hates the mask, but he knows it makes him feel better. So he just says, get on with it.
Yeah.
I mean, the kid's incredible. He can name pretty much every single allergen that causes issues with him and what happens. He can recognize them by sight. And if they're different colors as well, he knows mm-hmm. what they are and says, no, I can't have that. As an example, we were out for lunch back in the beginning of the summer for my birthday. And my mum was with us. She went to pour out water for Callum.
Mm-hmm.
He immediately went, I can't have that. Can I have something else, please? And my mum was there going, why not? And Callum said, it's got lemon in the water. I can't have that. It makes me sick.
Wow.
Job done.
Yeah. Job yeah. done. And you're going to listen to a little sick kid who says no. And how have you managed that? Making sure the teaching him along the way, like, how have you done that?
Just being completely honest with him. So he will tell me if he feels rubbish, so I'll note down. That's what it's been, a trial and error process to get to where we are now. So weaning every time, it was, he had very, he was borderline F-pies, they believe, because he was being so violently sick with everything that we were feeding him. It was a case of the, you know, the rubber Tommy Tippy bibs that you get that are kind of have a scoop at the bottom of the food. You'd put two little spoons in his mouth, he would fill the bib up with sick. You'd pour it away, you'd try again. That was weaning for us. That was the, from start to finish, that's what it was like with him. So he started to know what was making him feel rubbish. So we'd write it down, make a note, and do a food diary and video evidence and all the rest of it to try and find this correlation of what the issues were.
Yeah.
As he got older and got to kind of age one plus, he had serious food aversion and refused to eat anything because he was in permanent pain, permanently being sick. He didn't trust food at all. So the only way I could finally get around it would be to cook with him. So he would learn what the ingredients were. He would trust them because he was touching them.
Yep.
He had the control, nobody else.
Yep.
And he would be, I would obviously do the chopping and so on, but he would be sat there watching me and he would be putting it in the saucepan, which gave him that element of confidence that nothing else was going in it. He's seen what I've done, so it's not going to make him poorly because he knows mummy's taken everything out that is going to make him poorly. And little by little, slowly and surely, he started to trust the food again and we could introduce a bit more and a little bit more. We still have issues now, certain meats that if they've got a squidgy bit or a bit that's a bit gristly, he will have massive food aversion, spit out and go running off and being sick. But nine times out of 10, he's now in a position where the food that is safe for him, he will happily eat and know that it's completely safe because he's learned to trust it again.
Yeah.
So that was the first part. And while we were doing that, I was teaching him, as a classic foodie, as you do. I was teaching him what the ingredients were. So he could name by the age of two, pretty much any fruit and veg that you would see in a supermarket. He could tell you what it was, reel it off, where it came from and all the rest of it.
Yeah.
So that has really helped the process of him understand where food comes from and what it is specifically that makes him sick. Because if the hubby was eating strawberries or our daughter was eating strawberries or plums or grapes or anything else that was making them sick, he said, I want. And we'd say, really sorry, sweetie, we can't because that's what makes you sick. So he learned what the fruit looked like. So it's, it's no good just saying, oh, no, you can't have that. You have to give a reason why. Otherwise, it doesn't process for them. And they become bolshy and it's the, well, stuff you, I want it anyway. Oh dear, I've been sick. So you need to give them that. There's a balance between the two. Of trying to make sure.
So what you're saying is you give him control over what's going in his body. You're giving him ownership over the fact that he has an allergy and he needs to look after himself, but also teaching him the process that he needs to go through so that he can look after it as soon as possible, really.
Exactly right. Exactly right. And that's, hopefully that'll be tools that will get him past the age of 18, because his consultant gave us quite a sobering statistic when we were there before. He said, it's impressive you've got him to four. We didn't think he'd get there. Your job now is to get him to 18. And that's going to be a tough challenge. If he gets to 18, he should be okay for life. But that's going to be a big journey to get to. And it's not going to be easy. So the only way that we can do that, and yeah, it's tough to hear it, but the only way that we can do that is to teach him as much as we possibly can about having the control himself. So it's all very good as well when I hear parents say, oh, we've banned the school from having this and we've banned the school from having that. I think the reason why the school was so helpful to us and willing to do stuff for him is because we didn't want anything banned. It's more about changing the perception that children have when they come in. So instead of saying, you can't have that, it's a case of wash your hands. This is why. Be careful when you're eating. Don't touch that. This is why. This is the situation that happens if Callum comes into contact. You want to protect him, don't you, type thing. Because young children in particular are very, very protective of their peers. So we wanted to empower them as much as we wanted to empower Callum. So one of the other things that we did with the school was that I actually wrote a letter as if from Callum to the parents of the people, the children in his classes.
Yeah. And that was posted on the Free From Food website, wasn't it? Was it the Free From Food website?
It was. Yes. It's the Food Matters. Foods Matter. Food,
yeah.
And it's also on my website now as well.
Great. For anyone listening, there will be a link in the show notes. So, and it's a great letter. I've read it, and actually that's, I think, how we got in contact.
It was, yeah.
I read it and I thought it was such a fantastic letter. And I've had my allergies, well, I'm almost 25 now, so I've had it all my life. I've survived this long. I don't have as many as Callum, but the ones I have are as serious. And you know what? From my experience of how my parents taught me, you're doing exactly the right thing. Like, everything that I've learned is control and ownership over my allergy. Your bear mama, like, looking at everything on alert is how I am. No one knows I'm doing it, but I'm doing it. Like, and then I intervene when I know that it's going to harm me or might harm me if someone does the next thing I think they might do.
And you get a sixth sense, don't you? You almost know it's going to happen before it happens.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's, I think it's such a positive approach to allergies, because I know, and I'm sure you're aware, on a lot of the forums, a lot of the Facebook groups, there's a lot of negativity, and there's people saying, well, they're not dealing with the issue, which is allergy management and teaching your child to own their allergy. It's other people's problem, which is exactly the way you're going to kill your child.
Exactly. I mean, the way I've described it to many people is, yes, I can ban the school from having stuff, but what happens when he gets to secondary school and you've got bolshy teenagers? They'll actively bring it in to bully him. Why am I going to set him up to have that? It's not sensible. When he goes on the tube, even now, that tube's going to house every single one of his major allergens and more. I can't clean down a tube before he gets on it. It's not physically possible.
I mean, everyone else might love you for it, but...
exactly. It's no. So the only way I can do it and protect him is to make sure he has the power to protect himself. That's the only way that you can get around it. And that's what I practice what I preach. I tell my clients this. I tell people that ask me for advice, people that I coach. They all get told exactly the same thing. Empower your child so that they can teach others. And they educate the next generation so that the next generation are even more aware of allergies and more well equipped to advise and help and protect themselves as well as their peers that they're growing up around.
Yeah, that's exactly it. So I have just a couple quick questions before we wrap up, because we've got to about 20-25 minutes here. So when Callum has an eczema outbreak, what do you do? Like, what's your main product that you go to? Is it prescribed? Is it not prescribed?
Yeah, they're prescribed. So we've tried using natural therapy and natural remedies in the past, and they've actually caused more issues for Callum.
Okay.
So depending on the severity, he is moisturised in the morning before he goes to school. He is moisturised in the evening before bed. And we use, at the moment for him, Cetraben works the best because it doesn't block his pores and it's very gentle on his skin. It doubles up as soap as well. So you can slap it on him before he gets in the bath or the shower, ideally the shower, because then it's just washing all the dirt away and he's not sat in stagnant water. Then if he's having an eczema flare, the first point of contact I would usually use for him is Elicon at the moment, short sharp tactic for 4 to 5 days. Don't believe the fallacies of it thins the skin immediately. It doesn't. Use a fingertip amount per arm, a fingertip amount per leg, a fingertip for the front torso and a fingertip for the back torso, and you won't go wrong. It needs to be tacky or sticky for it to be able to penetrate enough through the skin layers to actually do some benefit. Otherwise, it's not going to do anything. And you'll be there firefighting and it'll continue to firefight and you just won't get anywhere. The one bit of advice I'd give as well is actually squeeze it out the tube. Stick it on a plastic, clean plastic tub lid or an equivalent, so that you're not contaminating your tube with any bacteria, which could then transfer it to another area of eczema and potentially cause a staph infection. Leave it for 20 minutes to soak into the skin, then apply your moisturizer on top just to give it a barrier so it's really working its way through the skin, and then you've got the protection on the skin as well. When it starts to calm down, I would also say as well, don't ever use it on the face because it is quite a strong corticosteroid, so I wouldn't use that on the face. When it starts to come down, then I would use hydrocortisone just to make sure that it's actually finishing the job off properly. And we adore Skinnies. Skinnies we use regularly. They're Callum's magic hands, he calls them, like a magician. and we have the full kit. Skinnies and the Skinnies team are so helpful and will do more than they possibly can do to help you guys out. And everything for eczema are also fantastic as well. I can't sing their praises enough either. We have the full kit. So he has... mm-hmm. like the long sleeved arm with the little holes to put the thumb through. We have the gloves that go all the way back up to the elbow, so that even when you have those little itchy scratchy fingers, they can't get through in night time when they're asleep. And we got the leggings and the socks as well, so he's fully all encompassed to try and give him the best possible chance.
And everyone will have links on the show notes for all of these as well. So if you want to have a look, make sure you check out the website. There will be a website address for you at the end of the episode. Okay, great. And my last question, what would be your advice to any parents new to the world of allergies?
First of all, don't panic. It's a lot better than it used to be. It seems like a black void where there's no information, but actually you will find the most incredible allergy community online now. Mm-hmm. It's improving almost on a daily basis compared to what it was like when we first started out a few years ago. It's phenomenal, the difference. It really is. I'm more than happy to be contacted. If you've got any questions or anything else, I will give what I can back to help you guys out. But the first point of call that I would do is take a step back, take a deep breath and say, right, where do I think the situation is coming from? Because more often than not, a mum's instinct is bang on accurate. Your gut instinct is kicking in and telling you something's not right. Act on it. Don't listen if you're told, no, oh, it's just baby reflux or it's just colic or that's just what babies do. It isn't. There is always going to be an underlying gut instinct that a mum is going to have. Listen to it and act on it and keep believing in yourself.
Mm-hmm. And this is for everybody and everybody. So doctors, friends, family, teachers, aunties, uncles, people on the street, whoever.
The ones that think they know it all and they have the magic cure for eczema, or, oh, my baby used to cry for 10 hours solid, it was just colic and it got better. No. If you think something's not right, keep fighting, because the GPs will eventually listen. It took us till Callum was 16 months to finally get him allergy tested. And when we got them back, even they were shocked at how many he had.
Yeah.
So believe in yourself. There's a multitude of information out there. I mean, my own site has got hundreds of recipes that are top 14 safe. Eczema advice, left, right and center. There are so many different things out there now. It is unreal. We've got Allergy Hour on Thursdays and Fridays. We've got the Allergy Blog Awards are on a Monday evening. There's so much out there. Just ask away and you'll have a plethora of information where people are more than happy to give you the information and support that you need as well, because it's that time in the middle of the night when everybody else is asleep and you have this itchy, scratchy, pukey baby and you're sat there going, I don't actually know what to do right now. Jump online. There'll be someone there.
Yep. And we'll have links to all of that. So Natalie, you'll provide me with the links at the end of this when we jump off, and then they will be in the show notes. Thank you so much for sharing your experience and all your knowledge. And I hope we'll be able to do this again and see how Callum's getting on in maybe a year's
time. Callum will probably be happy to do it himself as well.
I'd love that. I think everybody would love that. Yes. That would be absolutely fantastic. Thank you so much.
It's a pleasure. Thank you for having me.
So there you have it. That was Natalie Newman, also known as the Intolerant Gourmand. You can find Natalie's website at www.intolerantgourmand.com. And Natalie can also be found on Twitter at IntolerantG and on Facebook at The Intolerant Gourmand. And I know from my personal having a look around her website, she has loads of recipes, she has loads of blog articles and personal experience stories. So you should definitely check it out. And if you're in the car while you're listening to this or out and about, don't worry, the show notes, which can be found on the eatallergysafe.com website, will hold all the links, so you don't have to worry about remembering. I'd also like to mention that please remember that any advice on this podcast does not replace professional medical advice. So if you have a medical question, make sure you get in contact with your doctor or your allergist. So that was our launch episode. We have two more amazing launch episodes that you can download from the website and from iTunes. Thank you so much for listening and being involved. I'd love to hear your comments. Please get in touch via Twitter, Facebook, at using the tag name Eat Allergy Safe, or you can send an email via the eatallergysafe.com website. So thank you so much again for listening, and I look forward to seeing you next time. Bye.
You have been listening to the Eat Allergy Safe podcast by Nina Modak. If you want to help other people with allergies discover this podcast, then please rate it in iTunes. It only takes a few seconds. Your rating could make the crucial difference in letting a fellow allergy sufferer find out that they're not alone and help is available. Thank you.